I would like to introduce now the second speaker that we have for you this afternoon, Alex, from the Turning Point Group of NA in the LMHANA area of Narcotics Anonymous.
I'm an addict named Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Give me a minute to get out of the way, please. First of all, it's interesting how things work. That's very vague. I'll explain. I've been on the committee for this retreat three times. I was the programming chair 2 years ago. 2 years ago, and I asked Roberta to be our closing speaker on Sunday morning, and from that point on, like, I've been in contact with her. We've gotten closer, and it's been an incredible part of my journey the last few years. So it's really an honor to be asked to participate on this level. And I want to say thanks to Sandy and the committee for everything they do, because I know what a labor of love this whole event is to bring to fruition. So when I think about similarities, not differences, the first thing I think about is, Roberta hit the nail on the head, unique. That story that was in the fifth edition, that's not in the sixth edition. I was unique. I remember reading that story when I finally got here and stuck around for a little while, and it rocked me. The first meeting I ever went to, I think I was like 17. I brought my mom because she wouldn't let me out of her sight for very long at that point. And I went to a meeting in Indiana, where I'm from, and there was a bunch of like old dudes, like 50 years old and above, and a couple women, and like me and my mom. And they were like, "Welcome, we're glad you're here." And I was like, "Who the fuck are these people? Like, what am I doing here? Like, shouldn't have brought my mom, that's lame." And then they started the meeting, and they started reading, and it said, "If you are like us, you know that one is too many and a thousand is never enough." And I thought, I've had a thousand a bunch of times, and they were never enough. How do they know that? And then I heard, we're not interested in what or how much you use, who your connections were. And I said, "Good, I'm not interested in those people either. That only causes me pain." And I just thought, like, what is this? What is this thing I'm experiencing? And I now know that it's the spirit of identification. Our literature talks about the unspoken language of recognition. And, like, that's what I didn't know how to identify it then, but I see that now. And I didn't stick around. I wish I could say, actually, I'm glad I can't say that I've been clean since I was 17, because I had a lot more to learn in those years. I spent a lot of time. I went to one meeting, and then, like, I don't think I ever set foot in the rooms again for another 5 or 6 years. I started coming to meetings, and a friend of mine who lives close to where I live, I got connected with him, and he would give me rides to meetings, and I would give him rides sometimes, but I would never stay clean for more than, like, I think I got 6 months, one or like 4 or 5 months one time, 90 days, 60 days. And we would get in the car, and I would tell him all my bullshit. I would just give him a bunch of, like, drama, and he'd be like, "Man, you ain't done using." And I'd be like, "Fuck you, stop it, stop saying that." And then I would go get high a couple days later. And then I came back, and I had, I don't know how much time I had, but we were in the car driving down to Johnstown, and I told him something, and he said, you might stick around here now." Like, I had just, like, been at that bottom. I had felt the pain. I had just, like, had enough. And I think he recognized that in me, and he said, like, "You might be there now." where you can give this thing a chance. And we came out here today together. We go to retreats like every year. It's our thing. We ride out, and we're very similar, but if you looked at us and if you weren't in the rooms, you might think, how do these two people know each other? We went to a Springsteen concert together, and I was probably like, that's not my dad, and people were probably like confused. But I think that is where I started to realize like the similarities rather than the differences. Identifying with somebody who had a very different background from me, who was, you know, older than me, but identifying on levels that weren't just like the drugs that we use. I don't think we ever talk about which drugs we use. I remember there's a, I think it's in the like preface to the sixth edition or whatever, the whatever that letter is at the beginning, and it talks about how the identification at the level of symptoms is not enough for us, and how the obsession and compulsion and that triangle of self-obsession and the like total denial and all those things, all the like insidious traits that make up this disease, how like that is what we identify on, and how the desire, the willingness to grow away from that is what keeps us here, you know. If you want what we have to offer, then you're ready to take certain steps. And talking about steps, I think another thing that pops up to me when I think about similarities instead of differences is like my progression through steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. I guess before that, 1, 2, and 3, the whole way, all the way up through. I'm not on my 8th or 9th step yet, but my experience up to this point through the steps, I guess, leads to similarities. Like the idea that I can't, like, I'm the common denominator in what got me here, and I can't solve it by myself. I'm powerless over, like, you know, I'm what caused my disease is what caused my problems, so I'm not going to solve my problems also. I need help to do that. And then seeing somebody else and coming to believe that a power greater than myself, a room full of addicts, you know, a group of addicts around a bonfire, can help me to find sanity, and then making a commitment to that through in step 3. And if I wasn't able to identify on that level, if I wasn't able to look at a group of people who were different from different ethnic backgrounds, different XYZ, fill in the blank, all different, but with a similar experience, I don't think I would have ever bought into the spiritual principle of open-mindedness in step 2. And thank God that I thought I was unique for so long. Like, I focused on differences for a really long time, and I'm still capable of it today, and I still do it today. And I think about like similarities. Like my grant sponsor talks about, like, if you boil it down, every spiritual principle is based in love, and every defect is based in fear. So I think about similarities as like recognition of love, and differences as belief in fear, or investing in fear. And when I do that, like whenever I identify out, and I look at somebody and I say, we're different. Like I can't relate to what this guy's saying. I'm going to go to the bathroom while he talks. I can't, you know, I don't relate to the details about what he's saying or she's saying. I'm going to tune out. When I do that, like, I isolate myself from the spirit here. And when I do that enough, I cause a lot of pain, and I've done that clean. I've made decisions clean. Like, I cheated on my significant other. I'm just going to dive into this. And it affected people in the rooms. And I walked into my home group a few days after it happened, and people knew, and they were rightfully really hurt and really pissed off. And I walked in, and I said, I don't even feel welcome here in my home group right now. And it had nothing to do with what they were doing. It was like what I had done and like the isolation that I had brought upon myself. And I thought, they won't be pissed off at me. They'll pity me if I go get high. That's the solution to this problem right now. And my sponsor's words like rang into my head, and he said, I remember he always says, like, my disease doesn't want me to like obsess about like drug, like getting high, like hearing a song and going, like associating it with getting high. My disease wants me in a position where I think using will solve a problem, where I think using is a solution and not the cause of the problems. And that rang in my head, and I thought, oh shit, like where, and I've, and I sort of have, I was way off track at that point, and I've sort of like bounced back, or got, you know, gotten back to the basics and to what has saved my life to this point. I don't know. I think I live in a small town, and it's sort of like an insulated, like recovery area. And there's this trend where people, like when I came in, a lot of the people who were my predecessors at that point, I don't see them anymore. I don't see them at meetings. A lot of people might go to one or two meetings a week. So when I go to my home group, there's a lot of new people, and I might have like the second or third most clean time in the room. So it's really easy for me to think that it's my responsibility to like carry a meeting, or to like, I'm going to save somebody's life in this room tonight, because like that's what I'm capable of, don't you know? And it's really easy for me to like get on, you know, get on my high horse, and be self-righteous and like preach in a meeting. And that right there isolates me. You know, it's based in the desire to like help a new person, help the newcomer the way I was helped. But the way that I twist it when I'm detached is that like they need to hear what I got to say. Because I'm going to help them. And if it doesn't help them, like, it's on them, not me. And I'm capable of that. And, like, what I'm doing when I do that is focusing on, like, what I've learned in my time clean and not what has us both here. Like, not the similarities. The differences of my experience and theirs, not the similarities of our experiences, you know? I heard a long timer say, the only thing, somebody with 40, like 40 some years clean, say, the only thing that I've accomplished more than somebody with a couple days clean is like I've just gotten through more life. But that doesn't make them any less, that doesn't make me any less of an addict. That doesn't make, you know, me further away from a drug. What I've learned in my experience is like I'm one or two bad decisions away from picking up. And if we can't relate on that, like that life-saving baseline of all of this, then I'm missing the point, you know? I heard somebody say once, like, the reason we hug in NA is because we recognize the common experience that we've all gone through. We recognize, like, the thing that brought us here. When somebody, like when I drag my ass, when I crawl into the rooms, when I crawled into the rooms after my last run, there were people that hugged me. And I would like, for a long time, I would like go to meetings high. And I would like lie about my clean time. And I would like be high and get like a 30-day key tag. And I was never like rejected. I was never told like, try again tomorrow. Like, let's not do this right now. I was hugged, and then somebody would say to me, like, keep coming back, you know? This is the only place in the world where that will happen. Like, if I don't do what I need to do at my job, they, like, tell me not to come back. If I don't do what I need to do at school, like, we have a conversation, and then, like, I don't go to school anymore because they kicked me out. But when I, like, I've never been, like, too high to be allowed in a meeting. I've never been, you know, too dishonest to, like, be welcomed. And that's because people recognize, like, the common thread that connects us. And it's my responsibility today to, like, continue that, pass that on to the next person. You know, we can only keep what we have by giving it away. There was some piece of me that, like, even when I was high, like, just really needed a hug. And I didn't know how to, like, go about getting a hug other than, you know, during, like, at a clean time line. I don't know. I was different. I thought I was different for a long time. I was also at the Triangle of Self-Obsession workshop. And I think that's, like, the basis. You know, resentment, anger, and fear. Like, when I replace those things with acceptance... What is it? Acceptance, faith, love, and faith. Like, then I put myself in a position to see similarities. I brought up step 6 and 7. Like, there's a line in, I think, the Green and Gold book about, like, when we give ourselves a break for our defects, when we give other people the opportunity, we can give other people a break too. And I was so self-righteous. Like, when other people made mistakes, I would, like, hold their feet to the fire for it. And I had no idea, like... And then, so now that, like, when I make mistakes, like, I've been on my step 7 for a while, and I've caused pain to a lot of people, and I've made mistakes clean. And I can now see, like, when other people make the same mistakes, I see the similarity of, like, I know the pain that causes. I know, like, that, I know how that feels to do that, and I don't feel the need to judge. Like, my compulsion is not to, like, wag my finger at you and tell you what you should have done. It's to say, like, I know how that feels, and, like, we can get through it, because I got through it, because we got through it. Other people helped me to, like, see the other side, and to put myself in the position to, like, to not have to experience that pain anymore. But it wasn't, I think I'm able to identify, I think I'm able to see similarities because I obsessed about differences for such a long time. I hope people can relate to this. Like, I think being stubborn is, like, synonymous with being an addict. Like, I have to learn how to do the right thing by, like, doing every wrong option on the list. Like, I only learned how to serve selflessly by serving selfishly. Like, by trying to get attention and trying to get pats on the back and realizing that, like, I'm missing the point, you know? I tried to identify out for a long time, and, like, that's what kept me out. I don't know. I think about the reasons that I would go use, like, when I was new here, before I, like, got a foothold in this program. The things that I used as excuses to go get high. And it's just such a, like, a incredible gift to know today that, like, it doesn't matter what drug I was, you know. I don't know, let me explain this. I came around the first treatment center I ever went to. I, like, got clean, and then I used for a few more years after that. But I only used, like, one drug. And I used a drug that I thought was, like, safe and wasn't going to kill me And, like, that's a good reason to keep doing it. So that was my difference, right? Like, the symptom of a drug. And I had to learn through the experience of, like, doing grimier and grimier things. Like, I would say, like, I'm only smoking weed. Why am I pawning off everything I own to do this? Why am I stealing my mom's checkbook? It's just weed. What's wrong with me? And that's through that pain is where the similarity of, like, I'm an addict. It doesn't matter what chemical I'm ingesting. You know, the drugs are like things that help, that give the illusion of difference. You know, if somebody was like a hope to die dope fiend, like if I focus on that difference of like the drugs we use or the ways that we use, like I'm missing the point. I'm missing the similarity of our shared pain. And when I focus on the pain, when I focus on like what brought us here and the burning desire to change, the willingness to grow and to get away from that, like that is what saves my life. I was like hopelessly focused on, distracted by all the differences. That person shot dope for 20 years. I can't relate to that. That person, I've never even seen meth. I don't know what that looks like. Like, so I'm not going to listen. Like, and I would do that and I would miss the message. And I still do that. There are people who like, who I judge, and my sponsor tells me like, look at you. Look how unique you are right now. And I'll say like, I don't know. They shouldn't be talking about that. Because they're not living it. I know they're not living it. And he says, you've never done that? And I don't know. Roberta was talking about like putting your head down and listening to the message. And like, I just close my eyes and I imagine the message coming out of some other messenger's mouth. Like, I imagine somebody who like I respect greatly saying the exact same thing. And it detaches, like it's that anonymity. It detaches the person who my ego, my addiction pushes me to judge from the message that very well could save my life if I get out of the way and listen to it. And I hold myself to this high standard, and I think, like, if I stay clean long enough, I'll never judge anybody again. And I'll focus on similarities all the time, and I'll never think about a difference. And then I think, like, if I aspire to perfection, like, I'm always going to let myself down. I just want to be enough today. I want to be adequate. And I don't know. It would be great to never judge somebody ever again. But I've also learned that there's a difference between judgment and like a risk assessment. You know? I tell my sponsees, like, get phone numbers when you go to meetings, because like I'm not always going to be able to pick up the phone. But maybe don't get the phone number of that guy who's like nodding out in the meeting or was in the bathroom for 30 minutes. And that's not judgment. That's saying, maybe it is judgment. But that's saying, like, you know, we talk about like get around people who want what you have, or who have what you want. And is that judgment? And it's, I don't know that it is. I think it's like, I don't know what it is. I think it's like I use the word risk assessment, and I think it's like I think it's seeing the similarity of what I know will help save my life. What I've been told, what I hear in the literature that will save my life. And then I recognize that in somebody. You know, like I aspire to have what they have. And people prove me wrong all the time. People prove my judgments wrong. People humble me, you know. Like, shame on me for being self-righteous and entitled, because like there have been times when I do it and then people like save my life. You know, people who I wrote off, or people who wrote me off, and I resent them. And then saying something that, like, helped save my life. Or I go through something and I know that person went through exactly that same thing, and, like, I got to humble myself and, like, ask them for help, even though I didn't think I liked them. You know, and that's, like, the commitment to this process is the commitment to, like, seeking God's will, continuing to try to do better. I don't believe my higher power wants me to be perfect. Because it's not, you know, our literature talks about perfection is a divine trait. I believe my higher power's will for me is to practice spiritual principles to the best of my ability every day. And to do that, I have to ask for help. And I have to be reminded of when I'm not practicing spiritual principles. And I have to, have a rude awakening once in a while. And I have to have my sponsor say, who do you think you are? Like, what do you think you know that that person doesn't know? You know, and it's an ongoing process. And it's never, I hope I'm never, like, recovered. I hope there's not a finish line to this process, because there's an infinite well of similarities to draw from. And there's, I heard a lead once where somebody talked about, like, if you think all the newcomer can show you is what it's like out there, then you're missing out on some, like, real honesty. And I remember hearing that, and then the next meeting I went to, I heard somebody share, like, with, like, a Just For Today key tag, and they shared something that was like, I don't think they know, like, the depth of what they just said. And if I had written that person off as, like, they got one day clean, like, they're just trying to, like, hold white knuckle it and hold on for dear life, like, I would have missed that, and I would have missed something that helped save my life for that day. You know, what keeps me clean yesterday, what kept me clean yesterday, isn't going to keep me clean today unless I do it again. So, I don't know. I think it's like this snowball thing. If I focus on differences, then I isolate myself, and I don't give people the opportunity to help me focus on similarities, or to help me get back on track, or to point something out to me, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm isolated, I'm in a pinch of self-pity, and I consider getting high. Or I don't get high and I use all these other things. I, like, act out on my defects and I isolate myself further and I cause a bunch of pain. And, like, I don't want to do that today. Like, we spent so much time causing pain using. I want to learn how to, like, how to grow spiritually and how to, like, spread love and how to, be in the solution. And for me, being in the solution is focusing on similarities. It's our similarities, not our differences, that define us. Thanks for letting me share.